Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 16, King Chitraketu Meets the Lord. Text number 36. Paramanu Paramam Mahatos Twam Adi Antantara Varti Traya Vidur Vidura Adau Ante Api Sha Satvanam Yad Dhruvam Tad Evantarale Api Paramanu Parama Paramanu Paramam Mahat Paramanu Paramam Mahatos Tvam Adyantantara Varti Traya Vidura Adavante Pitra Satvanam Yadruvam Tat Eva Yadruvam Tat Evantarale Pi Parama Anu of the atomic particle Parama Mahato and of the biggest, the result of the combination of atoms. Twam you Adi Anta in both the beginning and the end. Antara and in the middle. Varti existing. Traya Viduraha, although without beginning and or middle. Adao, in the beginning. Ante, at the end. Api, also. Sha, and. Satvanam, of all existences. Yat, which. Dhruvam, permanent, tat, that, eva, certainly, antarale, in the middle, api, also. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Asi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. You exist in the beginning, middle, and the end of everything, from the most minute particle of the cosmic manifestation, the atom, to the gigantic universes and total material energy. Nonetheless, you are eternal, having no beginning, end, or middle. You are perceived to exist in these three phases, and thus you are permanent. When the cosmic manifestation does not exist, you exist as the original potency. Forgive me, Bhagavad Gita. Purport. The Brahma Samhita 5.33 says, Advaitam achyutam anadim anantarupam adyam varanam purusham navyovanam cha vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atmabhakto govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, Krishna, who is the original person, absolute, infallible, without beginning, although expanded into unlimited forms, still the same original, the oldest, and the person who always appearing as a fresh youth. Such eternal, blissful, all-knowing forms of the Lord cannot be understood even by the best Vedic scholars, but they are always manifest to pure, unalloyed devotees. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no cause, for He is the cause of everything. The Lord is beyond the workings of cause and effect. He is eternally existing. In other verse, the Brahma Samhita says, Andandarasta Paramanu Chayandarastam. The Lord exists within the gigantic universe and within the atoms. The descent of the Lord into the atom and the universe indicates that without His presence, nothing could factually exist. Scientists say that water is a combination of hydrogen and oxygen, but when they see a vast ocean, they are puzzled about where such a quantity of hydrogen and oxygen could have come from. They think that everything evolved from chemicals, but where did the chemicals come from? That they do not know. Since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all causes, He can produce immense quantities of chemicals to create a situation for chemical evolution. We actually see that chemicals are produced from living entities. For example, a lemon tree produces many tons of citric acid. The citric acid is not the cause of the tree, rather the tree is the cause of the acid. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of everything. He is the cause of the tree that produces the citric acid. Bijamam sara bhutanam. Devotees can see that the original potencies causing the cosmic manifestation are not in chemicals, but in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for He is the cause of the chemicals. Everything is caused or manifested by the energy of the Supreme Lord, and when everything is annihilated or dissolved, the original potency enters the body of the Supreme Lord. Therefore this verse says, Ada vante pita sattvanam yadruvam tad evantarale pi. The word dhruva means permanent. The permanent reality is Krishna, not this cosmic manifestation. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Aham adhir hi devanam and matak sarvam pravartate. Krishna is the original cause of everything. Arjuna recognized Lord Sri Krishna as the original person, Purusham Shasvatam Divyam Adi Devam Ajam Vibhum. And the Brahma Samhita describes Him as the original person, Govindam Adi Purusham. He is the cause of all causes, whether at the beginning, at the end, or in the middle. Paramanu param mahatos tvam adhyantantarat varti traya viduraha adavante pi chasatvanam yadruvam tat evantarale pi. You exist in the beginning, middle, and end of everything, from the most minute particle of the cosmic manifestation, the atom, to the gigantic universes and total material energy. Nonetheless, you are eternal, having no beginning, end, or middle. You are perceived to exist in these three phases, and thus you are permanent. When the cosmic manifestation does not exist, you exist as the original potency. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pacharne Nirvisesa Shunyavadi Paskatya De Satarne Atasya Karyam Karnam Javidite Atatsama Javya Dikas Tidrishite. That the Supreme Lord has nothing to do, although He has a transcendental body full of all different potencies. Because Prabhavaki Jnana Bala Kriya Cha. Simply by His willing, everything comes into being automatically through the agency of His different energies. So here it explains, this is Chitraketu Maharaj, he's praying to Sankarshan, Anandadev, this particular part of the Bhagavatam, is when Chitraketu Maharaj, he had prayed for a son. He was hoping to have a son. He had 10 million wives, and all 10 million wives were barren. And when one great sage, Angira Maharaj, I believe, Angira was visiting him with Narada Muni, he offered him a benediction. And by that benediction, he got a son by one wife. But the other 9,999,999 wives became jealous. And so they killed the son by giving him poison. And it was great lamentation in the kingdom. But finally, Angira and Narada Muni, they came back. Angira Muni and Narada Muni came back. They revived the dead son. And it was revealed that the dead son was actually, in his previous life, an enemy of the king, and had come to cause him all kinds of difficulty in the form of his son in this lifetime, causing difficulty by dying and therefore causing the king to lament. And therefore, King Chitraketu, his wife, and the other 9,999,999 wives, they gave up their attachment to this bodily conception of life. The queens, they gave up their attachment to having children, and instead they listened to the prayers of Narada Muni glorifying the Supreme Lord. And then finally, by chanting prayers, King Chitraketu obtained the darshan of Sankarshan, and now he's offering Krishna his prayers. And this prayer is that Krishna, he's the cause of everything. Ishvara Paramaha Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadir Adya Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. That everything that exists has come from Krishna. But that does not mean that Krishna, he is simply some dictator and that everyone is like a puppet. They had one book, it's called Monkey on a Stick. So that monkey on the stick, it is not that everyone is simply a puppet in the hands of Krishna. Although in one sense it is a fact that everyone is a puppet in the hands of Krishna. But the living entity, the soul, he has the capacity to desire, and therefore he can desire in various ways. In the spiritual world, he desires in various ways to serve Krishna, and in the material world he desires in various ways for sense gratification, imitating Krishna. Therefore, here it explains that ultimately, although the living entity may desire, Krishna himself, he's fulfilling those desires. In the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, A Nature, the Enjoyer and Consciousness, it explains that the material nature is the cause of all activities and effects, while the living entity is the cause of the various sufferings and enjoyments within this material world. It said, Karya karana kartrive hetu prakriti uchite purusha sukadukana bhoktrive hetu uchite. The nature is said to be the cause of all material causes and effects, whereas the living entity is the cause of the various sufferings and enjoyments in this material world. So the material nature is neutral. The living entities are ultimately the cause of the cosmic creation. Because when they desire to imitate the Supreme Lord, Krishna creates a situation that makes them believe that they're actually achieved that position. And as they desire in different ways to imitate Krishna, Krishna arranges through his material energy to create that impression, that situation that gives the living entity the impression that he's going through different stages of existence. Although the living entity is always aloof and always the same, never changing, but by the different various creations of the material nature by the Supreme Lord, he's given the impression that he's making progress or becoming degraded in so many different ways. But the cause of the creation is the Supreme Lord. The scientists, they so-called discover things. They find some planet in the sky, and suddenly by simply seeing the planet, they name it after themselves. Suddenly it becomes their planet just by seeing it. This is the material conception. Simply, I am the Lord of all I survey, and if I see something, I just claim it's mine. And if no one else can dispute it, then it becomes mine. So the scientists, they cannot actually create anything. In the sense, everything is already there. All they can do is try to manipulate the material energy in various ways, and in that way think that they're actually making progress. But material nature is not created by, they cannot even create one drop of water. They may take the ingredients that are already there and combine them together and therefore claim that now they've created water. But actually they have not created water. Water was already there. Simply they've taken the ingredients that has been supplied to them from the material energy and combined them together with the intelligence supplied to them from the Supreme Lord. And in illusion, they claim that now it has become theirs and that they've done it all. But the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, they declare that this is all a mistaken idea. That factually, the Supreme Lord, He supplied this playground for the forgetful living entities. And just like someone may give his son or his child, may take him to the beach, and the child, he builds a sandcastle, and he imagines, now I've become the king of the sandcastle, I have so many warriors on my side, etc. But in the course of time, the father comes, takes the child away, and the sea comes and washes the sandcastle away. So similarly, we may claim that we are the creators of so many things, we are making so much progress, we have built so many big buildings here, we have so many fast cars, and so many means of transportation. No one here in the material world has actually produced anything. It has already been supplied, nor is the intelligence that we use to change the various arrangements of the material energy coming from us. Ultimately, it is a gift of the material energy of the Supreme Lord through His material energy. Therefore, a real investigation is to find out who is the cause behind everything. People are rushing everywhere trying to find happiness. And there are so many books they write, what is the cause of happiness? Unfortunately, their conclusion is because they're thinking, asatyam apratishtam te jagat ohoranishvaram parashparam asambhutam kimaya kama haitukam. They think that this world is unreal. That it has no cause. It has no God in control. It has no foundation. It is produced of sex desire and has no other cause than lust. So basically they think that the cause behind everything is lusty propensities. That the reason why living entities are doing what they're doing is because of lust. That lust is supreme. And therefore they're very much concerned about gratifying lust. In the Vedic culture, people were performing sacrifices to satisfy different controlling deities, such as the demigods. And ultimately, those who are more elevated, they perform sacrifices to satisfy the Supreme Lord. So everyone is serving some superior, but in the material world, the living entity takes lust as the topmost superior, and very faithfully performs sacrifices to satisfy lust. But unfortunately, it is said that lust is never satisfied. But instead, the more one tries to satisfy lust, what is the result? Avritam jnana etena, jnanino nityavarina, kama rupena kunteya, duspraena nalena cha. That the more one tries to satisfy lust, the more one's pure consciousness becomes covered, and lust is never satisfied, but it burns like fire. Therefore, because they take lust as the supreme, the cause behind everything, they simply create more and more perplexities, more and more sufferings for themselves. Therefore, Arjuna, he became bewildered, confused. He became very disturbed. And in that condition, he inquired from Krishna what was the cause behind his disturbance. He wanted some deeper understanding other than simply our present experience or his present experience at that moment. He wanted some deeper conclusion. So in that state of inquiry from the right source, Krishna explained logically to him about how everything does not come from nothing. That nothing is arranged by accident, and the ultimate cause behind everything is not simply people's desiring. It is not that the battle of Kurukshetra is arranged simply due to people's desiring. Ultimately, there's a person who arranges things, of course, on the basis, he takes into account the base people's desiring, but he himself is beyond any kind of material desire. Therefore, hamsavasti pravo mataksaravam pravartate iti matva vajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. That Krishna says, I am the source of both the material and the spiritual worlds. So here in the material world, Krishna is Paramatma. He's in everyone's heart. He's sensing everyone's desires as the super soul. And on the basis of desert and desire, he's fulfilling he's creating different situations. But if we examine the material situations, we'll find that it's simply a waste of time. People are simply wasting their time. Because we are actually desiring happiness, we are actually desiring the knowledge, the consciousness by which we can find happiness permanently. But the material world has already been condemned as that it is a shasvatam. It is not permanent, it is asukam, it is not a place of happiness. Mamupeti punarjanma dukaliyam ashasvatam nat nuvanti punarjanma samsidim paramam gata. That there is no question of permanency here. Everything is changing. There is no question of happiness because it is a place of suffering. Because the very desiring to be here, that desire means that we are covered. And that desire is the cause of our suffering. The very desire to break the laws of the state, and when we act on that desire, then we become subjected to the persecution or prosecution by the state. Similarly, when we break the laws of the Supreme, when we desire to break the laws, when we break the laws, then we become captured by the material energy who immediately chastises us in the form of a material body, gross and subtle, which inflicts different types of miseries upon the living entity. Therefore, we have to find out what is the cause of our suffering and what is the cause of our relief, who is the actual controller, and how we can actually satisfy him to fulfill the real objective of our life, to find eternal happiness full of real consciousness. So here it explains that everything is manifested by the energy of the Supreme Lord. So that is not so easy to understand, but it is possible to understand it if one engages in Krishna's service and prays to Krishna. So everyone is praying. It is not that anyone cannot pray. Everyone is praying because we are subordinate. We are praying in the sense that we're desiring. So desire is a form of prayer to the Supreme Lord. And Krishna is answering the desires of living entities in various ways. But if one engages in Krishna's service and desires to serve Krishna, then Krishna releases the living entity from material ignorance and therefore from material suffering. He enlightens the living entity from within his heart, and therefore the living entity is released through the process of What is that process? Tesham sadatam yuktanam vajantam pritipuravakam. Consistent and loving service to Krishna. Then Krishna releases one from ignorance, and one can see how Krishna is fulfilling the desires of all living entities and fulfilling the prayers of all living entities, and how he's arranging those fulfillment of desires through his material energy. That no one is independent of Krishna, and Krishna, he is not some arbitrary dictator, but he has very carefully arranged the material world in such a way as to actually give everyone their complete justice and fulfillment of desires. That everything is very just in the material world, although it may not appear to be so from the materialistic point of view. One may wonder why so many people are starving in one place and why so many catastrophes going on. But they're going on because of people's past desires and activities. And if people learn how to desire properly and act properly, then also they can create a very nice situation if those desires are directed towards service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, the Vedas, they explain the beginning of service, that is to regulate one's life, come to the platform of acting piously in the mode of goodness, etc. But unless one comes to the point of meditating upon Krishna in trance, in loving service, no one can actually feel fully satisfied. So Krishna will give one that opportunity because he can give anything. He is a very wealthy person. He can give the living entity anything he wants. Yanti deva vrata devan pitri yanti putri vrataha bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti madhyaji naupima. There's a big world here. If you want to become a demigod, Krishna will give you that facility. But one must learn how to become a demigod. What are the qualifications to become a demigod? How to become trained up to become a demigod? If you want to become a ghost, people are very much interested in becoming ghosts, and there are many expert ghost-like people to train you up. And if you want to become an ancestor, because everyone will soon become an ancestor, and go to the planet of the Pitris, you can go there. But if you want to become go back to the spiritual world, there is also a process. Krishna is also offering that. But it takes faith, and it takes determination, it takes training to do that. So Srila Prabhupada especially, he's recommending this coming to the program, hearing and chanting about Krishna, because by this hearing and chanting, we develop some awareness. Krishna becomes more real to us. It becomes more than some idle chatting, some diversion, or some sentimental feeling that it would be a nice idea if there was God, and that if actually this philosophy was true. But if one hears this philosophy, it becomes more and more realized. More and more understood, and then if we act according to that philosophy, it becomes more realized. And the best acting on that philosophy, the only really acting on the philosophy, is to preach Krishna consciousness. That's what it means to act on this philosophy. There's nothing else except for preaching to acting on this philosophy. Preaching means to do something following Krishna's instructions. And what does Krishna want? He has only one objective, that all living entities get out of this material world and go back to the spiritual world. Krishna has no other objective. He's not simply, as the Christians think, he's not simply looking there and enjoying the sufferings of living entities, throwing them into the fire, and watching, wow, look at that one burn. That's far out. That one really went up. That is not Krishna. That is mental concoction. Krishna has no other objective. He simply enjoys seeing others enjoy spiritually in a real way. He has no enjoyment watching others suffer. That is the material conception. And therefore, one must If one hears, then if he's actually hearing, then the result is he'll want to preach Krishna consciousness, to spread Krishna consciousness to others. That means, principally in our movement, as Prabhupada said, our family business is book distribution. But that doesn't mean that anyone else is less if they're assisting book distribution. But that is everyone's job. Even one, dance, art, all these things are to inspire people to take to these books and read them. Because these transcendental sound vibrations, that is the gift coming from the disciple succession. And if one hears these sound vibrations with the right attitude, then the result is he evolves to the transcendental platform. That is the process. Even these pictures, this beautiful artwork, the beautiful deities, one will not be able to see them, or one can see them only through transcendental eyes, which become transcendental through knowledge of hearing and practicing what one has heard, and then eventually one will be able to see. Tattva-darshanaha. Otherwise, ukramantam siti vapi bhunjana vagunan vitaha vimura nanupashanti pashanti jnana chakshushaha. Otherwise, those who are foolish, they cannot understand how the living entity quits his body or what kind of body he's enjoying under the spell of material nature. But those whose eyes are trained with knowledge, he can see all this clearly. One can see how, what is Krishna's part, what is our part, what is the material energy's part, how things are going on properly. And then one can do what is necessary to come to the proper consciousness of Krishna consciousness. And so this hearing is important. And then we can see how much, either individually or collectively, we're hearing by how much we're actually following, how much we're actually making an endeavor to spread this Krishna consciousness movement, and how much we're making transcendental arrangements to obtain rice, dal, and chapatis. So this is not the objective. Even without transcendental arrangements, the rice, dal, and chapatis will be supplied, because perhaps, if we're not acting sinfully, Krishna is already supplying that to all living entities, so there's no need for making elaborate arrangements to eat and sleep nicely. But there is a need to make elaborate arrangements to preach nicely. To preach nicely, to come to this program by which we hear about and chant about Krishna, and then making arrangements so that others will be able to hear and chant about Krishna, because that is service to Krishna. That's what it means to surrender to Krishna. That we should hear about Krishna, and then further surrender as we'll chant about Krishna, and then Krishna will arrange it that we can actually surrender, and that way we'll remember Krishna and develop the spontaneous loving service of Krishna. So this verse explains very nicely how Krishna is the cause behind everything, but it is up to us to realize that by surrendering to Krishna, by trying to understand what it means to surrender to Krishna, and then desiring with determination to do what is necessary to surrender to Krishna. It is not difficult, but it requires some understanding, and it requires some acceptance, and then it requires some actually doing it. It is a practical philosophy. It is meant for practical activities, not simply being self-complacent. That is very nice that we've understood Krishna is God, and now we'll be very happy about that and be satisfied. We haven't understood that Krishna is God until we practically apply this philosophy in our lives. Therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says that you can understand this philosophy to some extent, but until Krishna gives you revelation within your heart due to one's practical service attitude, then there's no question of actually understanding Krishna completely or realizing Krishna in a full way. So that's what this preaching is meant for, this book distribution. forces one to confront our doubts. And how do we confront our doubts? Because that, more or less, we've all been trained up the same way. The whole society has been trained up in the same way. It is not that we're the only ones who have doubts about God, about Krishna, about spiritual life, about our own identity. Everyone has doubts. So you meet anyone in the street, they have their collection of doubts, and we have our collection of doubts, and we can exchange them just like people used to exchange baseball cards. That's more or less what people are doing on the street, exchanging their doubts and their material desires with each other. So we can also go and confront these doubts in the form of other personalities who have similar doubts to us, and by defeating their doubts, by engaging them in Krishna's service, it is not that we have to confront them just like a bulldozer, knock them over with our philosophy, roll them all over. No, by some transcendental tactic, as Srila Prabhunoda Saraswati said, Dante Nihatya, that taking within my teeth a straw and falling down at your feet and flattering you 1,000 times, I am praying, O great soul, yes, what do you want? I'll give you whatever you want. I want that you forget all your nonsense, speculation, and take to the service of Chaitanya Chandra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So by some tactic, by some humble presentation, we can convince people to hear this philosophy, to accept this philosophy, to follow this philosophy, and therefore, by the grace of Krishna, to realize this philosophy. And then, what is the result? It is said that Kaivalya Narakarete Tridashapura Akasha Pushpayate Doradentendriya Patali Prokata Damstrayate Vishwampurna Sukayate Vidimahendradis Chat Kitayate Yak Karunya Kataksha Vaibhavatam Yatam Goram Evastumaha. That by that process of becoming qualified to get the merciful sidelong glance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that one will see how Krishna is the cause of everything. And therefore, how Krishna is the most wonderful personality, how service to Krishna is the most wonderful activity, and therefore, merging into Krishna's effulgence will seem just like hell. And the heavenly planets, well, going to them will seem just like Pushpayate, like a flower in the sky, phantasmagoria. And the serpent-like teeth, which are always inflicting, demanding us service, will become broken, just like the broken fangs of a serpent. When a serpent has fangs, it becomes very fearful, but when the fangs are broken or the poison is extracted, then no one will fear such a serpent. So when one becomes purified through the process of devotional service, the senses will no longer impel us to act for sense gratification. And the whole world will seem joyful, full of happiness. And even the great demigods like Brahma and Lord Indra will seem as insignificant as ants. So this is the process. It is a very simple process. We always try to... those who are preaching Krishna consciousness, they're not inventing anything new, but simply offering the means by which one can see the eternally ever-present Supreme Lord, who is creating so many wonderful opportunities for his devotees to enjoy with him in spiritual consciousness, in loving devotional service. And for those who don't want that, then Krishna is creating so many varieties of entanglement for those who want such experience within this material world. But ultimately, one must either directly or indirectly surrender to Krishna. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Are there any comments?
Thank you.
one has to hear the philosophy, try to understand it, and then become enthusiastic. In a humble way, we should try to investigate this philosophy, and then when we understood, then we should act enthusiastically with determination. Enthusiasm, that's the bliss potency. Just like knowledge potency is confidence and eternality is patience. So patiently we should execute devotional service, develop realizations by the grace of Krishna, and then we should, then automatically we'll come to the spontaneous platform of actual loving feelings towards Krishna and things, everything in relationship to Krishna. So we just have to desire in the right way. Service. Service beginning with hearing and then acting according to what we've heard. And then the result will be spontaneous enthusiasm for serving Krishna. Yes.
You said the big gods seem smaller than ants.
Insignificant.
Insignificant, but I am still smaller than ants then? Because the gods are still higher than me, so.
Yes, of course. Just like if someone gives you $1,000,000,000 and someone else comes along the next day and offers you $1,000,000, so the $1,000,000 won't seem very significant. On the other hand, your original 50 cents that you had wasn't very significant either.
But you can say that they look like ants.
They don't look like ants. They become as insignificant as ants. They don't. It's not that Lord Brahma comes crawling down on the floor. Look at that ant, it has four heads. What a weird ant. No, they just become insignificant. Their power, their potency will seem as insignificant, will seem insignificant compared to Krishna's potency. Or if one gets Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, then one will not seek mercy from anyone else. Lord Brahma may be able to give you a kingdom or a universe, but Krishna can give you the spiritual sky, which is unlimited.
So I don't have to bow before Lord Brahma.
But then you'll see Lord Brahma in relation to Krishna. You'll bow before him also. It's not that the devotee disrespects the demigods. He doesn't disrespect anyone because he sees them in relation to Krishna. Just like if the policeman comes, you don't say, oh, you're just a policeman, you're insignificant. But because the policeman represents the state, you offer him respect. But actually the respect offered to the policeman is because he represents the state. If someone else comes dressed as the policeman, a phony policeman, you won't offer him any respect because he's not connected with the state. Yes.
A few days ago, I heard the lesson from Prabhupada, and he was giving the different species of life in chronological order, or let's say, like levels of order. Then he came with human beings, and after that, even higher are the ghosts, the spirits, and even higher than that are the asuras. Then he can explain why ghosts and asuras are higher than maybe number two. Or
well, there are different ways of looking who's higher and lower. It depends upon what you consider higher and lower. If you're looking at material powers, the ghosts and the asuras are higher than human beings. Because a ghost can go right through the wall. Now, you may be able to go right through the wall, but it might be a little painful doing so. But the ghosts can do it rather effortlessly. They can fly. They don't need machines. So in that way, they're higher. Similarly, the asuras, they have mystic powers, etc. Only in that way, they're higher. But from another point of view, we can examine it. We know that they're not higher. Depends how you want to look at it. Yes.
Yeah. all spiritual materials coming from me. But the Krishna who spoke on the benefit of Kuru Sutra is with his final Krishna.
He's good enough. He's good enough that everything comes from. The original Krishna, who's in Vrindavan, he's not concerned about these things. He's simply engaging in loving pastimes. Therefore, he's not even aware of whether anything's coming from him or not. Just like when Krishna killed Putana, it wasn't Krishna himself who killed Putana, it was his expansion who sucked out her life air. Krishna is Krishna. He was there just sucking her milk, but his expansion sucked out his life air. Therefore, after she died, Krishna didn't even realize she was dead and remained playing on her breast. So that's Krishna. So therefore, he doesn't make statements like that. And you go to Vrindavan, Krishna, and you ask Krishna, where did everything come from? He'll say, I think it came from Mother Jasoda. Or maybe Nanda Maharaj. He's not aware of these things. Although he is, but in Vrindavan he's not. Anything else? Yes. Well, Krishna's seeing you, that's more important. If you go on the street, Krishna's watching after you. There was one Christian minister, he said that Krishna, one devotee was telling me he went to some church and he gave a lecture. Oh, this Srila Tama Krishna Maharaj. He was saying that when he was a new devotee, he gave a lecture at one Baptist church. And the preacher was saying that God is so big that you can't go far enough away from him to see him. So it's a fact, we go on the street, generally we'll see according to our ordinary vision. We'll see, here is a black person, here is a white person, here's a person with some money, here's a person who looks a little poor, it's cold here. We'll see so many things. But Sankirtan is an opportunity to make an effort to see things slightly differently. We may try and make an effort intellectually, for instance, to see how we may start asking, especially if one goes out regularly on book distribution, one may begin to question, why am I here in the first place? And if he doesn't do that, he probably won't stay out there very long. So one may start to question, why am I suffering like this? And generally the conclusion should be, I'm doing this because I want to please Krishna and my spiritual master. And this way, by thinking like that, one will gradually see Krishna. Because if one thinks like that, then he'll say, well, what is this pleasing to Krishna? And one will realize that actually out here, there are so many conditioned souls, just like I am, equally or more bewildered than I am. They're all identifying with their bodies, but actually they're 1/10,000th the size of hair, spirit souls, bewildered by the modes of nature, desiring so many material circumstances which are causing their suffering. And I'm here to give them a book which will give them the information by which they can begin to act, desire properly, understand Krishna as Vishnu, understand Krishna as Narayan, understand Krishna as Krishna in Vrindavan, understand Krishna in different ways, so they can begin to desire properly and therefore make their lives progressive rather than regressive. So in that way, by some practice, one will be able to see Krishna. Or even one is so bewildered that he doesn't remember anything. But if one distributes the books, then suddenly one will feel enlivened. With every book going out, one will actually feel enlivened. And one will wonder, well, why am I enlivened? So then one will realize, gradually understand Krishna in that way. Of course, Prabhupada said these books are not just for giving out, they were also for understanding, reading by the devotees. So Jnana Chakshus, we should try to see Krishna, we should try to see the Bhagavatam on Sankirtan. How people are being misled by modern society, how they're created a hellish circumstance for themselves, how they're rushing back and forth, going nowhere, accomplishing nothing, except satisfying temporary desires, which cause them to satisfy more temporary desires. So we have to learn how to see things with intelligence. It is not that they parachute us on the street and suddenly everyone has four hands and playing a flute. It requires some effort on our part to see Krishna anywhere, but to speak of on when we're performing the activities of Sankirtan. And if we find it difficult out there, it's not that Krishna is not there, it's just that we're being confronted with our material desires. So we may say, well, that's not a good thing. It's nice to keep all the dirt underneath the rug. Therefore, we'll think it's clean. Similarly, in the temple, everyone may float around as if we're the topmost pure devotees here. But actually, it's not necessarily true. A matter of fact, by being ignorant of our material conditioning doesn't make us less conditioned. It simply keeps us in material conditioning. But on book distribution, one is confronting so many desires, and because of being confronted by so many desires, one may not find it very easy to remember Krishna or see Krishna. But by some consistent practice in the right way, then gradually one will be able to see Krishna. Just to tell a short story, when I was a temple president in Austin, I had a small temple, but I used to drop the devotees off every day in Sankirtan, and then I'd go to my spot. So when I was got to my spot, by that time the modes of nature, because they're always working on me, but they'd become especially strong when I had this nice, comfortable, warm car, and I suddenly had to go out to this cold environment, the parking lot. And in America especially, the police are not very friendly. The store owners are not so friendly. They're not very happy to see you again. That's because they probably saw you last week. And the police are not happy to see you again because they saw you so many other times. And they said this is the last time. So, immediately the mind will start, immediately arrived at the spot, and the mind would say, you're in anxiety. You can't go out there in anxiety because you won't be able to do anything. These people are not very friendly. You'll simply suffer. Better to read a little bit this philosophy. So yeah, that's a good idea. I should read before I go out. Some philosophy, trying to understand. So immediately one will start to read and the mind will say, but you're too tired to read. Close your eyes for a few minutes and I'll wake you up. It'll only be 10 minutes. Don't worry about anything. Then you'll get a lot of energy, you'll be refreshed, you'll feel strong, you'll be able to go out there and do huge. Alright, Maya, 10 minutes, right? Alright. It's been 2 hours. What happened? Oh, I fell asleep too. But don't worry about a thing. Just read a little bit and you're already strong now. Just read 10 minutes and you'll snap out of it. All right. But 10 minutes I'm reading, but now I'm a little hungry. Well, you know, you need energy. It's a hard service, Sankirtan. So why don't you eat a little bit? And so in this way, Maya, you know, what about my false prestige? You know, if I go back there and I haven't done anything, you know, what will people think? So after going through this for a while, different varieties of... Then one day I realized, well, I'm suffering a lot out there in Sankirtan. It's a really tough service. So then when I got to my spot, I just jumped out of the car and didn't think so much. I just started to distribute books, and it actually became very blissful. So we, seeing Krishna, we should try to see Krishna's service, what he wants us to do, and then gradually we'll be able to see Krishna. So try to see your spiritual master, your the other devotees, their instructions, try and remember those, and then we'll be able to see Krishna, the more we execute those instructions. Yes. That's a nice analogy, but that's all right. But still, we should be organized.
Yeah.
Because if you go out and run out like a kid and play, you'll meet some bullies out there, and they may not be. So we should be. They may interfere with your playing. So we should be nicely organized. But organization has its limit also. Not that we spend all our time organizing, we don't do anything except to organize. You know, I packed my lunch nicely for Sankirtan. I got that covered. You know, I have enough prasadam here for 3 meals or for at least 2 or 3 days in case there's a blizzard and I can't get back to the temple. I got all the phone numbers. I got everything is prepared, but I spent so much time preparing that there's no time to go out and do anything. On the other hand, not that we just run out there with 2 different color shoes and the you know, with not enough to eat, with not the proper clothing, with no books. Whippy! It's me! This is great! No, there has to be a balance. We have to prepare ourselves by attending the program and organizing ourselves very nicely in terms of taking care of our vehicles and the books, making sure there's adequate arrangements to taking care of our body. And then enthusiastically, we should go out there with intelligence, perform Sankirtan, distribute these books. So it has to be balanced between that mood of spontaneously relying on Krishna and using our intelligence, how to come to that position. Real intelligence will help us gradually develop that mood. So we can't give up that intelligence because then we'll become degraded. The problem is that we're used to false intelligence, devious intelligence, which makes all kinds of arrangements so we can avoid serving Krishna. Okay, so we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.